Would you like to accelerate your career and reach your full potential in just minutes a day? Welcome to the LeadX Show with New York Times bestselling author and Inc. 500 entrepreneur, Kevin Cruz.
What are the four tools you need to use to get promoted? Hello, everyone. Kevin Cruz here. And in just a minute, we're going to talk about tools you need to earn the money you want. But first, congratulations on being a lifelong learner and being proactive with your career. You turn on the LeadX Show as you tie your sneakers and head out on that morning jog, or maybe you're turning on the show when you turn on your car for the morning commute. Either way, you know LeadX will help you to stand out and get ahead. Tell your friends at work that LeadX is the smartest way to start your day. Today's career tip is the ultimate promise. Whenever you give a speech or make a presentation, the very first thing you should start with, the first words out of your mouth, should be the ultimate promise. Now, if you do this, you'll be better than 90% of the speakers out there, because most people start with, hey, I'd like to thank Jane for that great introduction, and I'm so happy to be here. And then they'll do some lame joke or say, I got a terrible time slot here right after lunch or something. You've already lost your audience. If you don't hook them in 2 seconds, they're looking down, checking email, or looking at Facebook. So the ultimate promise is the ultimate benefit of your talk, the WIFM, or what's in it for me from the audience perspective. So you want to really blow it up. So for example, in my employee engagement talk, I'll often open with something like, imagine if you could cast a magic spell on all your team members, and suddenly they come into work a little earlier, they stay a little later, and they work a little faster. They're more productive. They give you great ideas, and they think you're the best boss they've ever had. Well, in the next hour, I'm going to teach you how to cast that magic spell. So that's like my ultimate promise for my leadership talk, my engagement talk. And even if you're not out there giving keynote speeches, maybe you just need to present next year's annual budget to the executive committee. You know, instead of apologizing for such a boring topic and, you know, try to get through it quickly and all that, be assertive and say, imagine it's the end of next year and we're all high-fiving because our marketing raised our brand recognition 2 points. We expanded our sales force and increased sales 20%. We launched 2 new products out of R&D, and we maximized our personal bonuses. Well, the budget I'm going to present today is what it will take to achieve all that. All of a sudden, you've got everyone's attention with that ultimate promise. Now, before I introduce today's guest, big thanks to all of you who have subscribed and left a rating on iTunes. It only takes a minute to do, and it's the single best favor you can do for me. So thank you for that. Now, I'm excited. Our guest today is the founder of Traction First, which helps entrepreneurs get everything they want from their businesses by implementing the entrepreneurial operating system, as described in the best-selling book, Traction. She's also the author of Earn It, a book that you hand to your employees when they ask you for a raise, or read it yourself if you want that raise. Our guest is Jill Young. Jill, welcome to the show.
Hey, Kevin. Thanks so much for having me today. I'm super excited.
I'm excited to have you on. And, you know, we were talking pre-show. We met a few months back at a speaking gig. We had segments on stage, although we couldn't exactly remember the event, but it was fun to do that event.
Yep. I remember doing our sound checks together.
That's right. Thankfully, they went well.
That's right.
So, Jill, we're going to talk about Earn It in just a minute. But first, will you share with our listeners a time when you failed, maybe early in your career, and, you know, what'd you learn from it? Because we want to learn from your failure, too.
Well, that's a super fun question. And aren't we all so grateful to Brené Brown for bringing this out into the open?
That's right. Be vulnerable. Yeah. Be vulnerable.
We celebrate our failures and our vulnerabilities. And it's just more fun that way. Just so much more fun that way. So I have a fun one for you. You know, I have this attitude of there's a silver lining and you learn something from every failure. So I like to kind of put this in a fun way. But I was 24 and I was an HR manager and a new HR manager. So this is not something that I had done before. I was just really cutting my teeth in this industry. And it was Halloween and my boss handed me a couple hundred dollars. And this boss was not my HR boss. This was like the general manager of the site. Handed me a couple hundred dollars and he says, "Hey, Jill, why don't you go grab some wine, bring it back, and we'll all kind of have a drink, you know, for Halloween."
Right.
Like, okay, cool, you know, I'll do that. So I go to the liquor store, which I have not had a lot of experience at liquor stores at this point. I buy, you know, because I'm cost conscious, I buy boxes of wine, which was, you know, my first faux pas. I bring it back and I think, you know what, let's make this exciting. You know, let's make this 1 hour just really engaging, right, Kevin? Employee engagement, let's bond. So I put these boxes of wine in this mail cart and I run it around the office, kind of, you know, swinging something above my head, just being a dork. Like, come on, everybody, let's have a lot of fun. Well, apparently, several people were offended by that that call to liquor ourselves up. And they complained to the corporate office. So here I am. I am the HR manager. I'm the one in charge of doing the, you know, the disciplinary action. They had to bring someone in from corporate to do my disciplinary action for being so
amazing.
Thoughtless. And anyway, lesson learned is kind of know the rules before you're going to break them. You know, I'm all about breaking rules, but let's know them before we break them.
That's a great story. It is funny that it's the HR manager who's usually the bad cop, right? That's like yelling, whooping it up and everything. And Jill, I just think you were ahead of your time because these days, you know, it's like, you know, Silicon Valley, every Friday they're drinking. It's not a big deal. And hey, wine in boxes. You can get some good wine in boxes these days.
Well, thank you. That makes me feel even better, right? I was just ahead of my time.
That's right. So Jill, your book is Earn It, The Tools You Need to Earn the Money You Want. And let's start with mindset. If someone wants to earn more money, they're getting ready to go hit up the boss for a raise, you know, what kind of mindset should she have?
So, you know, I'm really glad you started with this question, Kevin, because there's a ton of self-help books out there that will just say, go say this, or go try this action. And, you know, if you do those tasks or steps and you really don't have the right mindset or the context behind it, you can really screw it up. Mm. And in fact, I coach hundreds of bosses and they tell me funny stories all the time about how employees just, you know, they tried, but they didn't come at it with the right mindset. So a couple of them, and this is all in the book, but a couple of them, I'd really like to go over today. The first one is you need to really believe at your core that you are in charge of your earning ability. So sometimes we go into the workforce and we think, you know what, I'm going to do exactly what I'm told. And really, that's how we're raised. That's how our public education system is set up. Do what you're told, you'll be successful. Well, I'm going to really challenge your listeners to just own it. You know, own your earning ability. You know, great quote out there, if you think you can or think you can't, you're probably right.
Right.
And so you just got to own that you are in charge. You know, there's a couple of situations you might find yourself in where, you know, the rules, here I am breaking the rules already. The rules say, you know, nobody gets a raise until after they've worked here for a whole year. Well, you know what? You could either sit back and just go, okay, that's the rule, and let someone else be in charge of your earning ability. Or you can say, I'm in charge of my earning ability. What can I do to speed that up? There's always a way around those rules. So be in charge.
Yeah, this is great. And listeners, there's actually a self-assessment in the book that's really good. So you can kind of see where your mindset's at and areas where, you know, you might want to develop further. And Jill, this actually was my very first like performance review. I don't even think I was 20 years old, 21 years old, something like that. And you're right. Like I was, and you know, I'm these days, you know, I know how to hustle. I know how to get things done on my own and everything as an entrepreneur. But the feedback, I was raised by you know, pretty conservative and strict parents. And I kind of, you know, was quiet and wouldn't do anything unless they told me to do something. And my early jobs in like fast food or grocery stores, I mean, it was very directive. Go stock the shelves, go mop the floor, whatever it was. And then it was my first job. It was actually at Bell Labs. I was kind of interning, doing some tech work. And the feedback, which shocked me at the time, because it's so obvious now, you know, they said, Kevin, take some initiative, like you take control of your role, you know, help us and take some initiative. And it wasn't at the time, like my mindset was I show up and I wait for them to tell me what to do. And then I would do it. And if they didn't tell me what to do, I would just sort of sit there thinking there was nothing to do. And so I think especially when we're young, and like you said, you know, many of us, the way we're raised, we don't, it's so obvious when you get older, but you have to understand you are in charge of your role, your job, your career. And I also liked what you said about those rules, which I learned, you know, much later in life, is rules, they're there as a starting point to negotiate. It's like, it's the beginning of negotiation. And so it's not something that, you know, we want to flaunt or be dismissive of, but we shouldn't just assume that when they say that's the way it's done or the way it's always done, that just isn't true.
There you go. You know, Simon Sinek is talking a lot about this, about how, you know, generations upon generations have not been raised to be thinkers. Right. We're raised to be doers and told what to do. And he's really calling on, you know, kind of all of corporate America to take charge of that and now start teaching our people to think. So,
love it.
You know, the book has a lot of great tools of just teaching people to think. And then, you know, Kevin, you know, when we were young and, you know, can we say young and stupid, right? We had to find this on our own, right? Your boss told you, Kevin, I want you to do more thinking. My hope is that by reading this book, doing the tools, we're going to speed that up. We're putting the tools in hands of people who are looking for it right now instead of, you know, having to figure it out the hard way or just paying their dues.
Yeah, well, and that leads me right to my next question, because I think the other key piece, which is so important your book emphasizes, is if you want to go ask for a raise or promotion or whatever from your boss, you need to put yourself in her shoes. You need to understand how bosses think. And a lot of us don't even think to try, or we don't realize how they're thinking until we become a boss ourselves later in life. So what is the typical mindset of a boss that we should have in mind if we're getting ready to go ask for that promotion?
Well, this is super cool, and it's a really fun tool that I teach employees to just be aware of. So there's a couple of different mindsets in the book, but one of them that's the most exciting is just really your boss is thinking, what kind of producer are you going to be? And so we have four different names for these different types of workers, right? Four different types of employees. The first type is the star. And so the star is a little bit self-explanatory, but the star is a producer. You make few mistakes. You meet your quotas. You are always there when you say you're going to be. You just produce, right? You at a high level. But also, you are pleasant to be around. You are cooperative. You are positive. You have a general air of happiness about you when you come to the office. So a star isn't just a producer of results. They're also this producer of energy. They're pleasant to be around. And every boss wants to hire stars. And in fact, the whole book teaches you how to get into that star category. But here's the thing. The bosses really know, and this is true, and Kevin, you can attest to this, every boss is looking for more stars. We want to hire stars. It's easy on the boss when they hire a star, but they're just few and far between.
Right.
Now, I hope your listeners are very on their way to being stars. Of course, you know, you're 95% ahead of everybody else who's not listening to this podcast.
Right.
So you're on your way. But bosses will also hire puppies. Now, puppies are different from stars in the fact that they still need to be trained. So maybe they don't perform as high as the star. So they're still going to make some mistakes. They're still going to be on their way to making quota. But the awesome thing about a puppy is they are eager, right? Think about a puppy. They're eager. We enjoy being around puppies. We watch them be excited about a new task. When I was a young supervisor, I quickly learned that if I could hire somebody for personality that fit the job requirements, I could teach them the skill. And that's, you know, people talk about that all the time. So that's a puppy. Now, bosses love puppies and stars. It's awesome. You can't stay a puppy for very long, though, and expect to make money. The bosses are not going to pay you more money just because of your pleasant attitude. You've got to start performing also. Now, that's the good news, right? Those are the good news. Right. Being a puppy and a star, awesome. And here's the bad news. Bosses know that there's also rats in the company. Now, rats are low producers, and they are low in their pleasantness to work with. Now, they're not really low in both of those. I'd like to call a rat, they're just pleasant enough not to get fired.
Right.
Or not to irritate everybody every day, right?
Right.
And the rats perform just enough to not get fired. So these are the people who are coming to work and they're doing the bare minimum. They hide. Sometimes they can be found cajoling other people not to produce so high. So, you know, you don't want to be a rat. A rat is, you know, a B player, a C player, and you're not going to make money as a rat. You might be working in a big bureaucratic company that might give you, you know, your percent and a half raise a year.
Right.
But you know what? Your audience, Kevin, that's not where they want to be. However, audience, followers, friends,
right,
be on the lookout for rats because you do not want to be friends with these people. These are not the people
right.
that you want on your team when you're the boss. So you got to watch out for this. Now, that's scary. We don't like rats. They're not producers. But here's the really scary part. There are also people working in the company who are terrorists. Now, terrorist is a strong word. I get that. But I use it on purpose because terrorists perform really high. Mm-hmm. They're the ones that are making all of the quotas. They very rarely make a mistake. The customers love them. But when they turn their minds or turn their faces to the internal workings of the company, they're just nasty to work with. They're mean-spirited. They don't want to follow any of the rules. I don't have to fill out your expense report because I'm the best and I don't have to follow your rules. I don't want to have to come to your meetings. They're just not cooperative, not a team player. And I can guarantee everybody listening right now just went, oh my gosh, we have a terrorist because right. there's one in every company. And so those are the four types of employees. And here's a newsflash that is very simple and probably not a newsflash or rocket science. You got to be a star, but you've got to be a producer of results and energy to make that money. And the book really walks you through a lot of things of how you can get there. Hopefully your listeners are not rats or terrorists. If you are, here I'm going to coach you right now. Stop it. Just stop it. Right.
Yeah. And Jill, there's so much I want to unpack. And so listeners, you know, well, first of all, I thought it was in your book. It was kind of clever. You know, you say rats is star spelled backwards. So it's an easy way to remember, you know, a star or a rat. But the big key takeaway I want to make sure, you know, listeners pick up on here. And it took me a long time actually to learn this even as a boss is good leaders, good managers, good companies. They care about everybody getting results, but they also care about how you are getting those results. And,
Amen.
You know, when I was, again, young and dumb, I myself was being compensated only on one metric, which was usually growth of profit. And so in turn, I would reward my team leaders and my salespeople on one metric, you know, growth of profit. And,
yeah.
And everybody had their own teams and their own territories. And I thought, well, you know, even though, you know, it's a pretty competitive, go for it kind of culture, they're going to play nice because they're not competing for clients. And what I didn't see was that all of a sudden everything was fine until we were growing so fast, they started competing for resources. You know, everybody mm-hmm. was landing new projects and there weren't enough people to do the work. And one very high producer, very talented, very smart person, she started, you know, kind of backstabbing and stealing resources and backtalking and setting up her own team values that were different than the company's values. And mm-hmm. for a long time, I let that go because I just thought, well, it's all about the numbers and she's performing and that's a small price to pay. But what I didn't realize, Jill, at the time, I wish I had your model, because she was a terrorist. She was not, she was getting the results, but undermining the larger organization. And in fact, and I'm not making this up, what eventually happened, she left the company, took all of her team members with her, you know, poached the employees, mm-hmm. and illegally stole the clients. So what I was letting go, because I was only looking at one metric at the time, it was a hard lesson for me to learn, is you can't have these terrorists around for long because they're going to blow the place up, you know, metaphorically.
Yeah,
so, yes. you know, I think going back to this, you know, if first of all, if you are a boss, you need to be, you know, mindful. I like this model of, you know, absolutely look for the puppies and develop them. And if you don't have that luxury or can find a star, get the stars. But you really got to be measuring both, are they getting the results, and then how are they getting them? And if you're an individual who's thinking about how can I move up quickly, how can I get that raise, that promotion, realize, as Jill is saying, this is what your boss is thinking about. You need to be getting the results done, but are you good to have around the office? Do you come at it high energy? Do you help? Do you volunteer? Or are you always bringing problems, you know, to your boss? So this is a great...
Yeah, or creating problems.
Or creating problems, right. Even worse, creating problems. So this is great. And then, and again, you know, so much good stuff in your book, Jill. I really love it. But with the time, you know, some of the time, limited time that we have here, can you summarize the tools that we would need to, you know, make more money? You classify them into these four categories. You say it, solve it, and serve. So we can't go deep into all those, but can you summarize them for us?
Oh, absolutely. And the reason I can summarize it so fast is because it's simple. Everything I do is simple. In fact, if you're the kind of person that is trying to create complexity out of your life or out of your career, you know, come back down to simplicity. So really, see it has everything to do with a couple of tools that are going to help you observe like a scientist. So I'm just going to ask you to look at your company as a whole and really observe things. That's your foundation. The second tool is how to say it. And you're not just saying it, meaning asking for a raise. And I also give you some really great language on how to ask for the raise. But it's how to talk and communicate with your boss in an open, honest way. So some great tools in there. The solve it compartment of the toolbox is all about teaching you a great methodology for solving issues within the company. That's the only way we're going to produce value is if we start to increase revenue and decrease costs. So looking at how you can solve some of those issues within the company really become valuable to your boss. And then the serve it compartment is probably the most profound section, because it really takes everything that we're doing here in a very selfish way, which is fine. This stage in your career, you got to be selfish. You got to own it, right? Own your career. But it really takes all of the tools and it says, okay, now that you know how to be a producer, you're producing more value for your company. The way to earn the big money is to create producers around you. So I really go into a coaching model, really, where if you're not the boss, that's okay. You can still create additional producers around you, really creating that exponential productivity for the whole company. That's when you become very invaluable to your company, and that's when you make the big money.
Wow. And again, that's worth underscoring here, because I think, you know, in the old days and probably still too often in large companies, especially today, there are people who feel that these promotions and getting ahead is a zero sum game. So they're competitive with the people around them. You know, they don't want to hire someone as smart or smarter, you know, than they are, because they're afraid, you know, it's going to put them out of a job. Mm-hmm. That'll never happen, though. If you create more value around you, you know, you should try to put yourself out of a job, and you won't get fired. It'll be, oh my gosh, Jill's such a hustler. Look what she did with her team. They're killing it. Where could we put Jill next to go fix and improve? So you should strive to add so much value around you that you're almost putting yourself out of business, and you will guarantee your value and your rapid climb by doing that. Great stuff.
Absolutely.
Jill.
Yep. I see it as a center of a ripple of productivity.
Love it.
And if that's what you can focus on, you're going to make big money. Promise.
So, Jill, before we wrap up, I always like to challenge our listeners to get just 1% better every single day. So what's something we can do today? Challenge us. What can we do today to improve our performance, to give more value to our company?
Oh, I'm so glad you asked, because I love this. I love the concept of becoming 1% better. You know, we don't need to be 100% better tomorrow. That's ridiculous. Okay, so I have two things for you. One is a thinking task, and one is an action. Both of them you can do today. So really, the thinking task, what I'm going to ask you to do is just observe without judgment. Now, this is pretty deep, so you might want to write that down and really think about it while, you know, after you meditate or something like this. But I want you to observe your company without judgment. So here's an example. You, if there's a lot of waste on the, you know, on the shop floor, you could say to yourself, oh my gosh, there's a ton of waste. Why are we so wasteful with all this stuff? This material could be used for this and that. And you really get judgmental in that observation. What I'm going to try to do is teach you how to observe as a scientist and just say, there's 30 pounds of waste today. And so as you look around the company, just observe without judgment, because what this does for you is it opens up your creative mind. When we don't use judgment, it opens up our creative mind to more possibilities of great solutions. When we judge, we have that negative cloud over us, and it just really shuts down our creativity. So first thing I want you to do is just observe today in your company without judgment. Now, that's your thinking skill. And so that your action that you can actually take today is sometime throughout the day, ask your boss this question. How could I make your life easier today? And there's some deep psychology in the way I said that sentence, and I won't go into it all today, but how could I make your life easier today? A couple of things it does for you. Number one, it makes you visible to your boss. We all have to be visible to our boss, right? Because the rats are the ones that try to hide.
Right.
And then the other thing it does is it just puts in their mindset, oh my goodness, somebody wants to make my life easier today. Usually it's employees who are coming to the boss saying, make my life easier. So try those two things, observe without judgment, and then ask your boss, how could I make your life easier today?
Wow, Jill, I love those, both of those things. And boy, would my jaw would probably hit the floor, but I would love it so much if my direct reports would come in and ask me every day or even once a week, you know, how can I make your life easier today or this week? This is incredible, incredible advice. Listeners, I read a business book a day because I'm doing this daily podcast. And this is one of my favorite books of the entire year so far. You know, I'm not just saying that. So I really encourage everyone to check it out.
Kevin.
Yeah. No, I'm serious,
thank
Jill. It's
you.
Really, really good. Jill, thanks, of course, for coming on to the LeadX show, spending time with us. Please tell our listeners how they can find out more about you and your work.
So if you are fired up about this, and when I say fired up, I mean, you're not going, eh, maybe I'll try this. Because you know what? Don't start it if you're just, you know, if you're half-assing it. But if you are really fired up about this, go to my website. It's www.earnitproducer.com. And I'm sure that'll be in the show notes too. And I want you to download the free scorecard, because right away I want you testing yourself and asking yourself, am I ready to ask for a raise? And it's going to walk you through some mindsets. It will probably take you about 1 minute to do the scorecard. And then you'll really be able to say, okay, what's my next step? You can also, at the website, download the free chapter. It's the free first chapter. It's all about these mindsets. So that will get you started as well. And if you just don't have time or the passion to go sit down at your computer and do that, you can also text the word chapter to 44222. And it will be emailed right to your inbox, the first chapter.
Wow. Friends, we've just gotten so many value bombs in this interview. And now so much more free stuff, including text the word chapter to 44222. So friends, don't forget you can get all of the links and notes from this interview over at leadx.org. You can get Jill's book if you're just ready to go right now over on amazon.com. Look for Earn It. And that's it for today's episode of the LeadX Show. But don't forget to also download our free ebook, Richard Branson's 7 Secrets to Leadership at leadx.org/Branson. And until next time, remember, of course, leadership is not a choice because leadership is about influence, not authority. You influence people with your words when you speak up, but also with your silence. You influence people when you take a stand and give positive actions, but you also influence people when you're a bystander. There's no choice. We are always influencing. We are all leaders. So please, today, lead with intent.